The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came to Jericho. He intended to pass through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and a wealthy man. He was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he himself was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down, and quickly he received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save those who are lost." The Gospel of the Lord. This gospel reading, which we just proclaimed, is found only in the book of Luke. And it happens when Jesus is on his way up to Jerusalem. It happens in Jericho, which is just 15 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus is going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the last week of his life. And he comes upon Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. He's a thief. He's a tax collector. He's reviled by the people. He's short in stature, we're told. But Luke means he's not just short in size. His heart is small. He's got a small heart. And Jesus calls him down, and Jesus enters his home and shares a meal with him. The meal, in Semitic language, is a sign of bond. It's a sign of reconciliation. And when he has a meal with Zacchaeus and his family, Zacchaeus professes his failings. He professes his sins, and he goes through a conversion. He was once a person with a small heart, and now he's a person with a great heart. Now he's generous, now he's open, now he publicly acknowledges his sinfulness. That's reconciliation. And we have come tonight to celebrate the wonder of God's love and God's forgiveness in the sacrament of reconciliation. In order to do that, somehow, we have to do as Zacchaeus did. We have to make some kind of a confession, some awareness of our failings. And therefore, we begin our experience of the sacrament with an examination of conscience. So for these few moments, be alone, and all you who are at home and listening to us, be silent, be still, and be alone, and allow the inner voice, to speak to us. The voice which we suffocate being so busy. The voice we ignore because of so much going on around us, so much noise. The voice of our inner person somehow is muted. But now we pause in these few moments to listen to something deeper inside of ourselves. And that's what we call the examination of conscience. And you will find that sometimes when you read about examination of conscience, it will lead you through the commandments. But I know about sin. Now, way back in the time of our studying theology, we did a tract in theology called De Penitentia about the sacrament of penance. But that's not where I learned about sin. I learned about sin because I was a penitent and because I was a confessor. So I know sin from both sides. I know sin from being a sinner, and I know sin from being a confessor, a person who listens and who expresses the healing forgiveness of God. And when you come to an examination of conscience, you have to be still. You have to be silent and let your inner voice come alive and speak to you. And all the commandments and every sin is somehow connected to relationships. Sin is not breaking a law. Sin is wounding a relationship or breaking a relationship. Sin has to do with how we treat one another. It has to do with what happens within families, within close relationships. It has to do with what happens when we are at work or when we mingle with others. Sin has to do with the inner person, the person we don't face very often. It has to do with greed. When is enough enough? I've always wondered in my own life that for the material things I have, I'm convinced that much of what I have doesn't really belong to me. It belongs to the poor. It belongs to others. It's just given to me to be shared. Think about greed. Think about demand. Sin has to do with betrayal. It has to do with harsh judgment. Sin has to do with gossip. It has to do with wounding other people, excluding other people. Sin has to do with violence, but just not physical violence, but the violence of words, the expressions we make which diminish other people. And upon reflection, when we think of sin, there are three levels of offense. One, when we're in sin, we move away from God. Somehow externally we're praying, and externally we're honoring God, but internally God is not there. The second level of sin is relationships and community. We break and we damage community. We cheat, we lie, whatever it is. But you are damaging community when you cheat or when you lie. You break a promise. You share another person's secret. You diminish another person. That's sin. Racism is sin. Deceit, that's sin. When you're hiding something that you can't speak about and you can't share, you just know there's something wrong here. Sin offends the person, it offends me. I know when I'm in sin, I'm weighed down. I'm carrying a conflict inside. There's something divided, my spirit is divided. I know it, I can feel it.
That's sin. That's a condition of sin. Not every sin is grave. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be better. The human condition is so arranged in God's divine providence. Read St. Paul's second letter to Corinth in chapter 12, verse 9, and he said, I was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that was. So that I would not be conceited. I was given something that would humiliate me, lest I should be full of myself, says Paul. Murphy O'Connor, the Pauline scholar, surmises that may have been rejection, his resentment because he was rejected. Whatever it was, St. Patrick in his confessions, he too remembers in his confessions some sin of his youth which somehow weighed upon him right into his adulthood, and he writes about it in his confessions. Think about the thing that weighs us down. Just, I know there's something wrong. I can feel a distance. I can feel a lack of generosity, a lack of openness. I know there's something wrong. I have offended my best self. It's not maybe the sin, it's sinfulness. It's not the grave sin of killing somebody, it's the grave sin of destroying another person's reputation. Or not supporting a person in crisis. It's not such a sin of commission, it's a sin of omission. God has given me opportunities to bless people, given me opportunities to forgive people. I'm ungrateful for all that God has given to me. I walk in a presumption, not in gratitude. Think of the people in your life who sacrifice for you. Those who are faithful to you, who strive to understand you. We may have the sin of ingratitude, and we know we're selfish. We feel it. It's somehow a little separation from God. It's a breaking of community, and somehow it diminishes me, myself. That's why we need to be reconciled. And yet, when we come to this sacrament, we shifted from confession to reconciliation. Until that emphasis about the sacrament, the most important thing was confessing. The detail of confession, and I remember when I was young, you had to confess every detail. How many times? And sometimes when I was three, I said five, because I was told if you don't confess everything, you're worse off after confession. So we went into details. And then we switched and we began to look at the theology and we began to call it reconciliation. So it's not so much confessing. Now, sometimes we need to confess. Not that the priest needs to hear the sins, but we need to somehow speak our sins in order to have an experience of being reconciled. But the essence of reconciliation is not in confessing. It's to experience the infinite love of God. That's the sacrament. Confession is part of facing who I am in truth. Reconciliation is to experience the infinite love of God. In hearing confessions, I always finish speaking to the penitent saying, but you're a good person. And most often the person says, well, you're saying that because you don't know me. That's a typical answer. He said, well, I do. I know something about you. I know you're sincere. I know you're humble. You're honest. You'd like to be a better person. That's a pretty wonderful person. Sincerity, honesty. I'd like to be a better person. I'd like to experience God's forgiveness and the forgiveness of others. That's a rich person in spirit. So when we come to celebrate this sacrament, it's not just the confessing part, it's a moment of grace. Surrender to Jesus Christ and experience the infinite love of God given to us in our brokenness. We have a thorn in the flesh. We have our humanity, our foolishness, our emptiness, the poverty of who we are. And we need to be reconciled, which is to say, we need to experience the healing, forgiving love of God, which makes us whole. So when we finish the sacrament, we walk in freedom. I have given away the sins and the failures, I've handed them over to the Lord, and the Lord gives back to me healing, forgiveness, and wholeness. So when I walk away from this sacrament, having the experience of God's love, I am free. I just know, I feel the freedom of God's infinite love for me. Put aside all my failures, put aside all my sins. I now breathe in the wonder of God's infinite love. That's what I want you to prayerfully consider. How to breathe in the wonder of God's infinite love. Whatever a person's sin, the infinite love of God is greater. No matter how great the sin, infinite is the love of God. Generous, infinite generosity, the abundance of God's forgiveness and God's love is given to us. I want you to think about that. So when you leave here tonight, or when you finish praying this sacrament together, walk in freedom, the freedom of God's love for you. You are a son of God, you are a daughter of God, and the power of Jesus Christ has touched you. From having a small heart, you're reborn with a great heart. Look at the inner person. In the Gospel of Luke, just before the text we had today, there's a story you will remember about the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee goes, they go into the temple, and the Pharisee goes up front and he says, thank God I'm not like the rest of men, he says. I fast, I pray, I pay my tithing. I'm not like the rest of people. And the tax collector stays at the back and he merely prays, be merciful to me, O God, because I am a sinner. And Jesus says, the tax collector goes home more justified than the Pharisee, because the Pharisee looked at all the externals, but the tax collector looked at the inner person. When I was, somebody said I should make arrangements for the liturgy of my funeral, I said, that's the gospel I want. I would much prefer to enter into the presence of God as the tax collector, the sinner, rather than enter into the presence of God as a Pharisee, saying, remember all the good that I have done in my life. I would prefer to surrender to the infinite love of God. Keep that in mind as we prepare for the great celebration of Easter. Amen.